Blog Talk Radio. When you're up on the mountain, you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't stay, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. You talk of faith when you're up on the mountain. When life's at its best, now it's down in the valley. Trials and temptations, that's where your faith is really put to the test. For the God on the
All right, hello, this is Dr. Ventura. Am I live there? Can you call in? We've had some technical difficulties here. I'm not even sure I'm being heard.
Oh, yeah, you're being heard loud and clear.
Oh, I'm good. Okay, amen. Thank God. This is Dr. Ventura with the Sound Doctor and Broadcast. We've got a little bit of trouble here getting on online here, but we're online now, and we're live. Coming to you from Imperial Beach, California. We just want to thank you for this opportunity to minister to you this evening. We've had a pretty exciting week. We had good news. We had bad news. We had all kinds of news. But the horrible news was that one of our friends and dear pastors has passed away. And as terrible as it is, it was Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, Sr., and, you know, as with everything, we don't always agree with every preacher, and, you know, he was my friend. And I'm not a Ruckmanite, as they call him. Some have called me a Venturanite, but I have read a lot of his material, and a lot of it's good sound doctrine, and you know, I can't say anything. I'd have to pray to care if anybody cared any less, you know. But he was born in 1921 up in Wilmington, Delaware, and he died on April 21st. And they held funeral services for him. And his final rest was at the Barrancas National Cemetery in Pensacola, a military funeral. He was a veteran of the United States, and he knew what it meant to be a soldier, that's for sure. And he was a soldier for Christ all his life. Amen. Well, tonight I want to get to you and talk to you a little bit about, do you have a vision? Do you have a vision? And that's what I'd like to preach on. If you'd like to join us, please open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Let's have a prayer, and we'll pray this up. We'll get settled in, and we'll get the Lord in this thing. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, your Son and our Savior, we thank you for this opportunity to preach the gospel, Lord, and we ask you, Father, that you would touch our hearts and minds, that you would touch us from the Spirit and work our way out, that we would work out our own salvation, meaning, Lord, that the salvation within us we work out, and we'll minister to others. But minister to us now, Father. We ask this in Jesus' name. We ask, God, that you would just strengthen us and touch us in a special way tonight, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Excuse me. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Amen. Let me read that one more time. We're talking about Samuel and Eli. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. So the word of the Lord was precious. You know, at the temple, Samuel, the child, was under Eli's care. And you know the story. We read the text. It said the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. You see? And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. This vision, this open vision, is not as you might suppose, my brother, my friend. A vision seen by the human eye. That's not what this vision is. You see, after God had called on to Samuel, well, and after God told Samuel what God would do to Eli, the Bible says, and Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to shew Eli the vision. And that's found in 1 Samuel 3:15. You see, God spoke to the young man, and God gave him a vision. You see, God spoke to Samuel, and God's holy word is God's holy vision. Amen? And if you want a vision given by God, you need to hear what God is saying to you. You see, for 3:15 says, and Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to shew Eli the vision. Well, Scripture tells us that God spoke to him. You see, and I'm going to show you that. But God spoke to Samuel, and God's holy word is God's holy vision. Amen. You know, when God gives a man a vision, it's not what the man's going to do. It's what God is going to do. Amen. Now, God spoke to Samuel, and so we see in 1 Samuel 3:1, the verse says, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Imagine that. Well, I think the word of the Lord should be precious every day. But Eli had two sons who worshiped and were worshippers of Baal. 1 Samuel 2:13 says they were sons of Belial. Just as you are the sons of God through Jesus Christ, Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were sons of Belial, or sons of Satan. Amen? That's what the scripture says. And the Bible says Eli's sons were so wicked. They were so wicked. Are you with me now? They were so wicked. And, you know, when the Bible says somebody is wicked. But they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. That's found in 1 Samuel 2:22. These sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, they were so wicked that before the priests could burn the fat of the meat offerings, Hophni and Phinehas demanded to have the raw meat. Insomuch they told the priest, nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Excuse me. These are the priest's sons. 1 Samuel 2:16. You see, these are the main characters so far. Then what happens is in steps Hannah, one of two wives of a man named Elkanah. He's in a fratai. Hannah had no children because Scripture tells us the Lord had shut up her womb, 1 Samuel 1:6. And Elkanah the Ephrathite had another wife, Peninnah, who gave birth to sons and daughters. But to Hannah, the Lord shut her womb. She had not yet borne any children to Elkanah the Ephrathite. Thus, you and I see in the passage of time, we find Hannah in the temple of the Lord. In 1 Samuel, verses 12 to 17, Eli, the priest, sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. Okay? And so, here's what the scripture says. Let's look at that together. Go over with me, please, to 1 Samuel. And we're going to read about this passage in verses 12 to 17, chapter 3. Verse 12 says, in that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth. Because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. Amen. Verse 15. And Samuel lay until the morning, and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to shew Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. Samuel, my son, he called. And he answered, here am I. And verse 17 says, and he said, what is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me, of all the things that he said unto thee. So in the passage of time, we see Hannah's going to be in the temple, but we read this vision. And indeed, we know that Hannah gave birth to Samuel, who after he was weaned, Hannah brought Samuel to the temple. She had dedicated Samuel to the Lord as a child and left him at the temple. Now, my brethren, God's word is precious every day. But God is telling you that in those days, there's something about those days that made God's word even more precious. It is not that there wasn't any of God's word available. No. It's because Eli and Eli's sons were profaning the temple of God. They were in sin. And God was not blessing the people. And Eli should have had his sons put to death under the Mosaic law. And if the leaders are not doing what is right, how are the people who follow them going to act? And because of the condition, there was no open vision. You see, Eli is so full of sin, he couldn't hear the Lord speaking to him. So God called a boy to do the job a man could not do. Is God speaking to you tonight? Samuel? 1 Samuel 3:15 says, "And Samuel feared to shew Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel." Okay? And he said, you know, what is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? You see, the vision was what God said he would do. Amen? It wasn't a vision where he saw. Excuse me, such as when Paul had a vision. It wasn't that type of vision. It was the word of God. The word of God. The vision was what God said he would do. Amen? And I ask you tonight, do you have a vision? Do you have a vision? Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Do you have a vision tonight? When I look upon the world today, I see so great despair, hunger, disease, wars, famine, poverty, violence, terrorism abroad and now at home. The nucleus family is broken down. Traditional law enforcement is failing. Scripture says, Proverbs 29:18, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Our own country, the only human superpower left in the world today. And don't let that fool you, my brethren. It's not a country's military might which will save them. It's their God. And you better have the right God. This country was founded upon the word of God. That AV 1611, I know they came across with the Geneva Bible, but the AV 1611, that's the foundation and the word of God. And today, Bibles are out of our schools, out of our public places. The homeless people are in epidemic portions. One out of every three males have either been arrested or in prison. Personal debt and bankruptcies at an all-time high. Where is the hope? Where is the hope? We're the richest nation in the world, yet people walk our streets every day without hope, without family, without food, and very little clothing, without friends, in prisons, in insane asylums. Where is the hope? Where is the hope? Even those with some or a lot of money have little joy in this life. They work long hours just to pay the car bill, food bill, heat bill, electric bill, gas bill, clothing bill, insurance, and medical bills. They're not exempt. And we as a nation, we have become downtrodden. The land of sudden death is what we're known around the world. From the outside, our nation looks pretty good. Yet on the inside, we're filled with dead man's bones. Remember, where there is no vision, the people perish. And brethren, I respectfully submit to you that as in Samuel's day, the word of God is precious today. Let me say that again. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And I submit to you respectfully that as in Samuel's day, the word of God is precious today. Amen? And I ask you tonight, do you have a vision? Do you have a vision? A proper vision, it'll give you hope and motivation to serve God. Amen? A proper vision will give you the right perspective in life. You need the right vision. Noah had a vision. God told Noah to get out there and build that ark, and he built that ark. He didn't ask any questions. 120 years he preached the flood was coming. Methuselah. Methuselah's name means when he is dead, it'll come. What's going to come? The flood. In 120 years, the Bible says Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And you know, he stayed in that ark for 7 days before that flood came. The Bible says the Lord shut the door of that ark, and for 7 days. And I'll bet you at the end of that 7 days, got around 4 or 5 days, his family was probably chiding him inside saying, you know, you sure you were hearing from God? And the people were on the outside knocking, hey, come out of here, Noah. Ain't nothing going to happen. Well, 7 days it came. Abraham. Abraham left home at 75 years old. Job. Job kept his vision, even after his wife told him, just curse God and die. Hey, man, imagine that. Some wife. Hey, don't worry. God got even with her. She had 7 sons and 3 daughters by natural childbirth. But Job endured. You know why? Because Job had a vision. Here's what Job said. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. That's found in Job 19:25-27, the oldest book in the Bible, talks about God standing on the earth. Jesus Christ is the Lord, and he did stand on the earth, and he will stand again during the millennium reign. Amen. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Amen. Amen. Do you have a vision? Listen, David, as a young shepherd boy, he had a vision. David stood before the giant of Gath, Goliath by name, and David said, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Achan had an improper vision. And you know you sow what you reap. Achan put that stuff in his tent, and he hid it. And when it was discovered, it cost him his life and his family's. Karl Marx, the communist, equal distribution, not more, one step away from socialism. Karl Marx, the communist, equal distribution. Hey, wrong vision. You know why Marx, Lenin, and the other communists had the wrong vision? Because they didn't know God's word. I'd like to read something to you about that. I'm giving you biblical stuff. We don't make this stuff up. We know what the Bible says. You go over there with me to James chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. Come on, you're doing well. Just follow along. We'll get right there. James chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. So you see, Karl Marx, Lenin, and his 5 points, and the other communists, they had a wrong vision because they didn't know God's word. If they knew God's word, they'd know that James 4, 1 through 4 says, from whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Amen? Excuse me. They had a wrong vision. It was a wrong vision. You see, they didn't understand that somebody's always going to want more. Somebody's going to lust for more. More money, more food, more property. More, more, more. And I want you to know this adultery in chapter 4, verse number 4, is not talking about physical. There's a spiritual adultery. And men commit it when they worship the wrong God, especially when you're saved. Now I want you to know God's word. Well, not especially when you're saved, when you're saved. But brethren, God's word will give you that proper vision. And that's what you need tonight. You and I, young and old, boy or girl, doesn't matter your nationality. God's not going to ask you when you get to heaven, are you an Italian? Are you Jewish? Are you French? Listen, God's not interested in all that worldly nonsense. God only knows 2 races in this world, the saved and the unsaved. Amen? The apostles. Listen, you want a right vision, you look at the apostles. Scripture says, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Amen? And the apostles, they had a vision. They knew Jesus Christ was coming back. The vision that Paul had, hoped, and believed, was able to say, listen, Paul said, go with me, please, to 2 Corinthians. And I know I'm making you work tonight, but isn't this what preaching's about? I mean, do you want to just sit there and just somebody tell you something? I want to know it's true. You want to know it's true. Go to 2 Corinthians with me, please. Look at chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 4 to 10. All right? Paul had hope and was able to say this. Here's what Paul said. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love, unfeigned, by the word of the truth, by the power of God, by the word of truth, by the power of God. Oh, Lord, have mercy. By the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Amen. And then Paul says, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Listen, where there is no vision, the people will perish. There must be a vision. And I ask you tonight, do you have a vision? I have a vision of God and my God and your God, who is able to take care of approximately 6 billion people daily while feeding 40 billion fish and 60 billion insects and 20 billion mammals. And while at the very same time he is tending to whole galaxies and constellations and nebula. And while he's doing all this, God is sitting on his heavenly throne ruling all of eternity. And this same God, your God, and my God, he's preparing a place for you and I. Jesus Christ said in John 14, 1 through 3, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You know, people kept telling me I'm too serious. You're too serious about this God thing. The problem isn't that Dr. Ventura is too serious about this God thing. No, the problem is that they're not serious enough about God. Amen? Amen. They don't have a vision. So why are you with these people? Well, listen. People ask, oh, what are you spending all that time at Bible study for? Why do you go to church on Monday, Wednesday, and Sunday morning and Sunday night? Do you hang out with those Christians? Because I have a vision, amen? And if you had a vision, you'd be sitting in church too, amen? Because where there is no vision, the people perish. And they want to know why they're going to hell. They can't figure it out, amen? But I have a vision, that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I have a vision. That's the vision that God has given me. That's the vision that I stand upon, and I know that my Redeemer liveth. And like Job said, one day he will stand upon this earth. Amen? You want to have the wrong vision? I'll tell you how to have the wrong vision. You want to live a miserable life? You want to get the wrong vision? Here's how you get it. Number one, go to Bible study with no desire to study. Number two, go to hear God's words preached without obeying it. Number three, attend church while you hate and despise your brethren. Number four, don't do what God has called you to do in your life. Number five, spend your life comparing yourself with someone you don't like. Amen? Boy, that's a wrong vision. I think you need me to tell you again. You want a wrong vision? Here's a wrong vision. Go to Bible study with no desire to study. Go to hear God's word preached without obeying it. Attend church while you hate and despise your brethren. Don't do what God has called you to do in your life. And number five, the fifth thing, and by the way, five is the number of death. Genesis 5:5, Adam dies. They kill a man in the Old Testament by stabbing him under the fifth rib. Amen? We know that, and you know it. Mayday, mayday, we're going to die fifth month. Here's the fifth reason they got a way to get a wrong vision. Spend your life comparing yourself with someone you don't like. Amen? But if you want a proper vision, my brethren, then you need to see this vision. Revelations 4:1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And The first voice which I heard was as it was a trumpet talking to me, which said, come up hither. Come up hither. You see, all you need for a proper vision is to read the word of God. God spoke to Eli. I'm telling you. Eli wasn't listening. No discipline for his children. Samuel, the child, under Eli's care, gets a vision. What was the vision? It was what God was going to do to Eli. And you know what happened to Eli? The old man fell off that tree trunk there, that branch, and broke his neck. He died. God's got a lot of ways to take people out of the world. You never know. 5,000 people a year, I understand, are blasted off the earth with lightning. They walk outside, guy, with lightning. Took it right off the earth in a second. But if you want to have a vision, the vision you need is the word of God. And it'll give you the proper perspective of life. You see, Eli didn't have a vision. That's why when we read the text, it said, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before. Hey, listen, if God calls a man and he won't do the job, God will call a boy. And if a boy won't go, well, I hate to say it, but God will call a woman. Somebody will get it done. God's going to get it done. That doesn't mean that women don't say Dr. Ventura is a woman hater. Not saying that. Woman has her ministry in the church. It's not being the pastor. And I would love my phone lines open. You got a problem with what I'm saying about a woman. Pastor, you call me. It says there in the scriptures, under the description of a pastor, must be the husband of one wife, not the wife of one husband. Somebody's out of order. If you want a proper vision, you read the word of God. God spoke to the boy, Samuel. Gave him a vision. Told him what he's going to do. God has spoken to you. Told you what he's going to do. He's coming back. Listen, the word of the Lord is precious today. There's not a lot of open vision. Why? Because the churches don't have the right Bibles. Because they're pretending. Because they're religious. I live in an area where there's 20 churches that surround me or more. This is the only sound doctrine, Bible-believing Baptist church left in Southern California in the Imperial Beach area. Somebody said to me today, they said, brother, we go out tracking every Saturday. We hand out 100, 200 tracks on a Saturday. Where are the people? Well, I'll tell you where the people are. They're talking in tongues and they're dancing around the charismatic churches and they're over in the handout churches. I got a church down the street where there's a homosexual as a preacher. Show me that one in the Bible. Oh, don't give me document terrorists picking on a homosexual. Hey, listen. I believe marriage is between a man and a woman. Not a woman and a woman and a man and a man. You want the old phrase Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve? Come on. You got to be worn out with that. If you don't have a proper vision, my friends, it's because you are not reading the word of God. God's word will give you that vision. God's word will open your heart. God's word will give you hope. God's word will give you strength. God's word will give you courage. God's word will give you power. God's word will give you light. What are you waiting for? Read the word. Praying around the church like you're scripture man. You know so much. What do you know? Where's your vision? What are you downtrodden for? Where's your hope? Why are you sorrowful? Why aren't you grateful? Thank you, Lord. I lost a leg, but thank God I got the other one to walk on. You thought you were supposed to have two? That was a blessing. People are born without them. Stop being selfish. Get the right vision. Get the spirit of hope in your life. Read the word of God. That's why there's no hope in the school. why the people are in despair. War, poverty, terrorism. Lord have mercy. You can have a right vision. And the vision's in the Word of God. There are great and precious promises in this Bible. If I have a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ sitting on a white horse, and I looked into heaven, John said, and I saw him sitting on a white horse, and he had a name on it, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You got that vision? Who's going to defeat you in your life if God is for you? Who is going to take the things that God has given you from you if God is for you? There's a vision. The apostles stood there and they watched Jesus Christ ascend up on the Mount of Olives. And they saw him ascend into heaven, into the clouds. And they were staring after he was gone. And the angel said, "You men of Galilee." And I'm paraphrasing. What are you standing there looking at? Scripture says in Acts chapter 1, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven," listen, he's already gone, you're still staring at heaven. "As he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel." No fairy little winged angels and cherubs and all that nonsense. Catholicism made garbage. We're talking about men. Angels appear as men in the Bible. They don't have wings. But he said, and you know why you don't know that? Because you don't read your Bible. "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here looking up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.'" Oh, hallelujah. There's a vision. Hey, we saw Jesus come up. We know he's coming back the same way. There's a vision. I got a vision of Jesus Christ coming back the same way. This same Jesus, not another Jesus. This same Jesus. There's your vision. Where's your hope? Oh, the world's in despair. Why are you in despair? You're not the world. The world. The world's going to remain in despair. World. You're not of the world. I've called you out of the world. Don't you know that Jesus said in John 17, "I pray not for the world, but I pray for those which you have given me." Talking to God the Father. World peace. Forget the world peace. The only world peace you're ever going to see is when Jesus Christ gets on this earth in the millennium reign. Here's what you should be looking for. Titus 2:13. My brethren, you need to write this verse down. Put it in your pocket if you're lacking hope. Looking for that blessed hope. What's the blessed hope? The coming of Jesus Christ. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. There's the proper vision. Too many people are playing church, looking for a recreation spot, party spot, hangout place. I don't get to hang out with the brethren in church. The pastor's preaching every week, week after week after week. The Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. You don't hear it. You're hearing noise, but you're not hearing what he's saying. My brethren, do you have a vision? And if you don't, you need to get one. If you don't have a vision, your life will continue to be most miserable, whether you're a Christian or you're not. If you're unsaved, you need the right vision. And that vision is the Lord saving your soul. The Lord saving your soul. Jesus said you must be born again. Ye must be born again. John 3:5 said, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, that's your natural birth, and of the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He did not say, verily, verily, I say unto thee, the man who does the most good works gets in. You cannot earn your way to heaven, my sinner friend. You cannot do enough of the good deeds to get in. It took one sin for Adam and Eve to get out. The only way in is to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you're unsaved, you need to settle that sin issue now. Now, there's a CD out there roaming around the world and in the Christian circles, and it says, Hell's Best Kept Secret. And I don't remember who the preacher is. You know what the preacher says Hell's Best Kept Secret is? To win a man to Jesus Christ, lead him to the Lord's Prayer without him repenting. Because he's no more saved than you if you've done the same thing. If you haven't repented of your sins and turned from your old path of life to the new life and receive Jesus Christ, you are not a saved man. You cannot be, because the scripture says so. You must repent. Now, if you confess your sins, go on to the Lord and say, God, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. First thing a man has to know is that he's a sinner. Second thing a man needs to know is that he needs to be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Scripture says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you want to receive Jesus Christ right now, if you want to settle the sin issue right now, you could do it. You could do it today. God's not saying go home and get cleaned up. God's not saying stop your drugs and your alcohol. Hey, you need to do that. But God didn't say come to the cross when you're all cleaned up. God, Jesus Christ, came to save sinners who were in their sins. And if you're one of those people walking around that I've spoken to or similar to them who told me, well, when I get all cleaned up, I'll be there. Listen, God's not waiting for you to get cleaned up. God came to save sinners. You hear me? The rest comes later. After you're saved, the rest of your life is doing nothing but surrendering to Christ. If you can settle that sin issue tonight, I'm pleading with you. There's a literal place, and it's called hell. And Jesus Christ says there, a worm dieth not. It is a place of eternal torment. You know, of all the subjects Jesus spoke on, hell was his most talked about subject. He warned people of a literal, physical, spiritual, rather, place. It's your choice. Don't blame the preacher. Don't blame your parents. Don't give me this, well, we were forced to go to church, we had enough of that. You know what you are? You're a rebellious Christian son or daughter. That's what you are. You're telling me you don't go to church because you were forced to go to church. Listen, you're an adult now. You better make the right decision. You're just looking for an excuse to go out and sin and have a good time. And you think that's going to let you escape. You're wrong. Repent. If you're saved, you're backslidden, remember, it's not the end of the world. Scripture says, that if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us. But if you're an unsaved man, you need to get saved. When we say saved, you say saved from what? Saved from eternity, separated from God. God will not make the choice for you. His desire is for all men to be saved. The choice is yours, brother. The choice is yours, sister. If you repented and you want to be saved tonight, you pray with me right now. Wherever you are, you say, Holy Father, I'm a sinner. And I repent of my sin and I turn from it. And I ask Jesus Christ to be my Lord and my Savior. And I believe that he died for my sins, and that he was buried, and that he resurrected the third day, and that he is now on the right hand of the throne of God, because he is God, manifest in the flesh on earth. Brethren, if you prayed that prayer, the Word of God has said that you are saved. If you pray that prayer, God bless you, and welcome to the family of God. You know, the devil has children, too. Those are people who are not saved. Those are people who do not know Jesus Christ. Did you know that? People say, oh, that's not true. Oh, yes, it is. We're all the children of God. Who gave you that idea? Who formulated that lie? Who? We're all the creation of God. Now God has given us a choice. That you believe on him. That you receive him. Well, you know, the Bible was, hey, listen, are you saved? The Bible's a spiritual book. You can't receive the things in this book until you're saved. Stop even trying to read it until you repent and get right with God. Once you're saved, the Holy Spirit will indwell you and seal you. And your life will change. The power of God will be manifested in your life. You'll understand the Word of God. And then you'll have the vision. You'll have a vision. We have hope. We have the blessed hope and the glorious return of Jesus Christ. What's your vision? Do you have a vision tonight? Holy Father, we just bow our heads here tonight, Lord, and thank you, God, for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for sending him to die for our sins. Thank you for giving us an avenue to receive your Son to be saved. Thank you for giving us an eternity in heaven. And Lord, if there's any like that that pray tonight here in this listening audience, that you would lead them and guide them to a Bible-believing Baptist church. God, that you would lead them to teachers who teach correct doctrine so that they can correctly learn to live for you. Lord, if there's somebody who's rededicated their life to you, you would bless them. Lord, I ask you to bless those at the Bible Believers Baptist Church of Imperial Beach, California, who are ill, that you would heal them from the crown of their head to the very tips of their toes. God, that you would place your angels before and behind them, that you would give them comfort of heart, Lord, and strengthen them. I thank you, Father God. Lord, I thank you for the members of our church and the members of other churches who are faithful. I ask you to bless Dr. Ruckman's family, that you would comfort their hearts during this time. And I know he's in heaven. Amen. I know it. But Lord, we're still frail. We miss people. We love people. And I know Jesus understands that. And I thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Thank you for Brother Nathan. Thank you for my wife, Marilyn. Thank you for my family and friends. Thank you for all you do, God. And thank you for this broadcast. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Nathan?
Yes, he does.